The Shepherd of Hermas, Part 5, Vision 5. As I prayed in the house and sat in on the couch, there entered a man glorious in his visage, in the garb of a shepherd, with a white skin wrapped about him, and with a wallet on his shoulders and a staff in his hand. And he saluted me, and I saluted him in return. And he immediately sat down by my side, and he saith unto me, I was sent by the most holy angel, that I might dwell with thee the remaining days of thy life. I thought he came to tempt me, and I say unto him, Why, who art thou? For I know, say I, unto whom I was delivered. He saith to me, Dost thou not recognize me? No, I say. I, saith he, am the shepherd unto whom thou wast delivered. While he was still speaking, his form was changed, and I recognized him as being the same to whom I was delivered. And straightway I was confounded, and fear seized me, and I was altogether overwhelmed with distress that I had answered him so wickedly and senselessly. But he answered and said unto me, Be not confounded, but strengthen thyself in my commandments which I am about to command thee. For I was sent, saith he, that I might show thee again all the things which thou didst see before, merely the heads which are convenient for you. First of all, write down my commandments and my parables, and the other matters thou shalt write down as I shall show them to thee. The reason why, saith he, I command thee to write down first the commandments and parables is, that thou mayest read them offhand, and mayest be able to keep them. So I wrote down the commandments and parables as he commanded me. If then, when you hear them, ye keep them and walk in them, and do them with a pure heart, ye shall receive from the Lord all things that he promised you. But if when you hear them, ye do not repent, but still add to your sins, ye shall receive from the Lord the opposite. All these the shepherd, the angel of repentance, commanded me to write. Mandate 1. First of all, believe that God is one, even he who created all things and set them in order, and brought all things from non-existence into being, who comprehendeth all things, being alone incomprehensible. Believe him, therefore, and fear him, and in this fear be continent. Keep these things, and thou shalt cast off all wickedness from thyself, and shalt clothe thyself with every excellence of righteousness, and shalt live unto God, if thou keep this commandment. Mandate 2. He saith to me, Keep simplicity, and be guileless, and thou shalt be as little children that know not the wickedness which destroyeth the life of men. First of all, speak evil of no man, neither take pleasure in listening to a slander. Otherwise thou that hearest too shall be responsible for the sin of him that speaketh the evil, if thou believest the slander which thou hearest. For in believing it thou thyself also wilt have a grudge against thy brother. So then shalt thou be responsible for the sin of him that speaketh the evil. Slander is evil. It is a restless demon, never at peace, but always having its home among factions. Refrain from it, therefore, and thou shalt have success at all times with all men. But clothe thyself in repentance, wherein is no evil stumbling block, but all things are smooth and gladsome. Work that which is good, and of thy labors, which God giveth thee, give to all that are in want freely, not questioning to whom thou shalt give, and to whom thou shalt not give. Give to all, for to all God desireth that there should be given to of his own bounties. Then they that receive shall render an account to God why they received it, and to what end. For they that receive in distress shall not be judged, but they that receive by false pretense shall pay the penalty. He then that giveth is guiltless, for as he received from the Lord the ministration to perform it, he hath performed it in sincerity, by making no distinction to whom to give or not to give. This ministration then, when sincerely performed, becomes glorious in the sight of God. He therefore that ministereth thus sincerely shall live unto God. Therefore keep this commandment, as I have told thee, that thine own repentance and that of thy household may be found to be sincere, and thy heart pure and undefiled. Mandate 3. Again he saith to me, Love truth, and let nothing but truth proceed out of thy mouth, that the spirit which God made to dwell in this flesh may be found true in the sight of all men. And thus shall the Lord who dwelleth in thee be glorified. For the Lord is true in every word, and with him there is no falsehood. They therefore that speak lies set the Lord at naught, and become robbers of the Lord, for they do not deliver up to him the deposit which they received. For they received of him a spirit free from lies. Thus, if they shall return a lying spirit, they have defiled the commandment of the Lord, and have become robbers. When then I heard these things, I wept bitterly. But seeing me weep, he saith, Why weepest thou? Because, sir, say I know not if I can be saved. Why so? Saith he. Because, sir, I say, never in my life spake I a true word, but I always lied deceitfully with all men, and dressed up my falsehood as truth before all men, and no man ever contradicted me, but confidence was placed in my word. How then, sir, say I, can I live, seeing that I have done these things? Your supposition, he saith, is right and true, for it behoved thee as a servant of God to walk in truth, and no complicity with evil should abide with the spirit of truth, nor bring grief to the spirit which is holy and true. Never, sir, say I, heard I clearly words such as these. Now then, saith he, thou hearest. Guard them, that the former falsehoods also which thou spakest in thy business affairs may themselves become credible, now that these are found true, for they too can become trustworthy. If thou keep these things, and from henceforward speak nothing but truth, thou shalt be able to secure life for thyself, and whoever shall hear this command and abstain from falsehood, that most pernicious habit, shall live unto God. Mandate 4. I charge thee, saith he, to keep purity, and let not a thought enter into thy heart concerning another's wife, or concerning fornication, or concerning any such like evil deeds, for in so doing thou committest a great sin. But remember thine own wife always, and thou shalt never go wrong. For should this desire enter into thine heart, thou wilt go wrong, and should any other as evil as this, thou committest sin. For this desire in a servant of God is a great sin, and if any man doth this evil deed, he worketh out death for himself. Look to it, therefore, abstain from this desire, for where holiness dwelleth, there lawlessness ought not to enter into the heart of a righteous man. I say to him, Sir, permit me to ask thee a few more questions. Say on, saith he. Sir, say I, if a man who has a wife that is faithful in the Lord detect her in adultery, doth the husband sin in living with her? So long as he is ignorant, saith he sinneth not. But if the husband know of her sin, and the wife repent not, but continue in her fornication, and her husband live with her, he makes himself responsible for her sin, and an accomplice in her adultery. What then, sir, say I, shall the husband do, if the wife continue in this case? Let him divorce her, saith he, and let the husband abide alone. But if after divorcing his wife he shall marry another, he likewise committeth adultery. What then, sir, say I, after the wife is divorced, if she repent and desire to return to her own husband, shall she not be received? Certainly, saith he, if the husband receiveth her not, he sinneth, and bringeth great sin upon himself. Nay, one who hath sinned and repented must be received. Yet not often, for there is but one repentance for the servants of God. For the sake of her repentance, therefore, the husband ought not to marry. This is the manner of acting enjoined on husband and wife. Not only, saith he, is it adultery, if a man pollute his flesh, but whoever doth things like unto the heathen committeth adultery. If therefore in such deeds as these likewise a man continue and repent not, keep away from him, and live not with him. Otherwise thou also art a partaker of his sin. For this cause you were enjoined to remain single, whether husband or wife, for in such cases repentance is possible. I, said he, am not giving an excuse that this matter should be concluded thus, but to the end that the sinner should sin no more. But as concerning his former sin, there is one who is able to give healing. It is he who hath authority over all things. I asked him again, saying, Seeing that the Lord held me worthy that thou shouldst always dwell with me, suffer me still to say a few words, since I understand nothing, and my heart has been made dense by my former deeds. Make me to understand, for I am very foolish, and I apprehend absolutely nothing. He answered and said unto me, I, saith he, preside over repentance, and I give understanding to all those who repent. Nay, thinkest thou not, saith he, that this very act of repentance is understanding? To repent is great understanding, saith he. For the man that hath sinned understandeth that he hath done evil before the Lord, and the deed which he hath done entereth into his heart, and he repenteth, and doth no more evil, but doth good lavishly, and humbleth his own soul, and putteth it to torture because it sinned. Thou seest, then, that repentance is great understanding. It is on this account, therefore, sir, say I, that I inquire everything accurately of thee, first, because I am a sinner, secondly, because I know not what deeds I must do that I may live, and my sins are many and various. Thou shalt live, saith he, if thou keep my commandments and walk in them, and whoever shall hear these commandments and keep them shall live unto God. I will still proceed, sir, say I, to ask a further question. Speak on, saith he. I have heard, sir, say I, from certain teachers that there is no other repentance save that which took place when we went down into the water and obtained remission of our former sins. He saith to me, Thou hast well heard, for so it is. For he that hath received remission of sins ought no longer to sin, but dwell in purity. But since thou inquirest all things accurately, I will declare unto thee this also, so as to give no excuse for those who shall hereafter believe, or those who have already believed on the Lord. For they that have already believed, or shall hereafter believe, have not repentance for sins, but have only remission of their former sins. To those, then, that were called before these days, the Lord has appointed repentance. For the Lord, being a discerner of hearts, and foreknowing all things, perceived the weakness of men, and the manifold wiles of the devil, how that he will be doing some mischief to the servants of God, and will deal wickedly with them. The Lord, then, being very compassionate, had pity on his handiwork, and appointed this opportunity of repentance, and to me was given the authority over this repentance. But I say unto you, saith he, if after this great and holy calling any one, being tempted of the devil, shall commit sin, he hath only one opportunity of repentance. But if he sin offhand and repent, repentance is unprofitable for such a man, for he shall live with difficulty. I say unto him, I was quickened unto life again when I heard these things from thee so precisely, for I know that if I shall add no more to my sins, I shall be saved. Thou shalt be saved, he saith, thou and all, as many as shall do these things. I asked him again, saying, Sir, since once thou dost bear with me, declare unto me this further matter also. Say on, said he. If a wife, sir, say I, or it may be a husband, fall asleep, and one of them marry, doth the one that marrieth sin? He sinneth not, saith he. But if he remain single, he investeth himself with more exceeding honour and with great glory before the Lord. Yet, even if he should marry, he sinneth not. Preserve purity and holiness, therefore, and thou shalt live unto God. All these things which I speak and shall hereafter speak unto thee, guard from this time forward, from the day when thou wast committed unto me, and I will dwell in thy house. But for thy former transgressions there shall be remission, if thou keepest my commandments. You and all that shall have remission, if they keep these my commandments, and walk in this purity. Mandate 6. I charge thee, saith he, in my first commandment, to guard faith and fear and temperance. Yes, sir, say I. But now, saith he, I wish to show thee their powers also, that thou mayst understand what is the power and effect of each one of them. For their effects are twofold. Now they are prescribed alike as to the righteous and the unrighteous. Do thou therefore trust righteousness, but trust not unrighteousness. For the way of righteousness is straight, but the way of unrighteousness is crooked. But walk thou in the straight and level path, and leave the crooked one alone. For the crooked way has no tracks, but only pathlessness and many stumbling stones, and is rough and thorny. So it is therefore harmful to those who walk in it. But those who walk in the straight way walk on the level and without stumbling, for it is neither rough nor thorny. Thou seest, then, that it is more expedient to walk in this way.
I am pleased, sir, say I, to walk in this way.
Thou shalt walk, he saith. Yea, and whosoever shall turn unto the Lord with his whole heart shall walk in it. Hear now, saith he, concerning faith. There are two angels with a man, one of righteousness and one of wickedness.
How then, sir, say I, shall I know their workings, seeing that both angels dwell with me?
Hear, saith he, and understand their workings. The angel of righteousness is delicate and bashful and gentle and tranquil. When then this one enters into thy heart, forthwith he speaketh with thee of righteousness, of purity, of holiness, and of contentment, of every righteous deed, and of every glorious virtue. When all these things enter into thy heart, know that the angel of righteousness is with thee. These, then, are the works of the angel of righteousness. Trust him, therefore, and his works. Now see the works of the angel of wickedness also. First of all, he is quick-tempered and bitter and senseless, and his works are evil, overthrowing the servants of God. Whenever then he entereth into thy heart, know him by his works.
How shall I discern him, sir? I reply, I know not.
Listen, saith he, when a fit of angry temper or bitterness comes upon thee, know that he is in thee. Then the desire of much business and the costliness of many viands and drinking bouts and of many drunken fits and of various luxuries which are unseemly, and the desire of women and avarice and haughtiness and boastfulness and whatsoever things are akin and like to these, when these things then enter into thy heart, know that the angel of wickedness is with thee. Do thou therefore, recognizing his works, stand aloof from him, and trust him in nothing, for his works are evil and inexpedient for the servants of God. Here, then, thou hast the workings of both the angels. Understand them, and trust the angel of righteousness. But from the angel of wickedness stand aloof, for his teaching is evil in every matter. For though one be a man of faith, and the desire of this angel enter into his heart, that man or that woman must commit some sin. And again, if a man or a woman be exceedingly wicked, and the works of the angel of righteous come into that man's heart, he must of necessity do something good. Thou seest then, saith he, that it is good to follow the angel of righteousness, and to bid farewell to the angel of wickedness. This commandment declareth what concerneth faith, that thou mayest trust the works of the angel of righteousness, and doing them mayest live unto God. But believe that the works of the angel of wickedness are difficult, so by not doing them thou shalt live unto God. End of part 5.